Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, messaging has really gotten out of control. What happened to a nice, simple text?
Yeah, really. Plus more Angry Beats. Angry Beats. Apple Beats theories. We're going to talk about Open Table. They're polishing up the silverware. And speaking of Angry Beats, how angry are those birds these days? Really angry.
All that and all of your unread stories on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Amazon gift card when you get a loan. And by
Gazelle,
the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used iPhone, iPad, or other Apple product is worth at gazelle.com.
Whoosh.
Well, hello, everybody. Hey. Welcome to iPad Today. That's Sarah Lane. I'm Drogon the Dragon. I've gone off the reservation.
It's nice to see you again. I was worried about your whereabouts.
Just wandering the countryside.
And kind of your...
Well, I'm angry.
Sure. You're an angry dragon.
Well, you would be, too, if you're, you know, every time you open your mouth, fire came out. That'd make it cranky.
Yeah, sure, of course. Yeah. How could you not just ignite everything? It's part of you.
This show, iPad Today, is all about your iPad.
This is not an iPad, but you get
today.
The idea. There's a lot of clouds. Yeah, this is the show where we talk about iPads and the app ecosystem.
You know what I've been doing a lot of on my iPad the last couple of days?
That?
Watching the World Cup.
Oh, my gosh.
Little pro tip for you.
Yeah.
You don't have a cable subscription, so
you
don't have the wherewithal to watch ESPN. That's the app, Watch ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And they require you to log on to your cable company's portal to verify that you, A, have cable, and B, that you pay for ESPN. And then, if all goes well and your cable company gives you its permission, oh, please, little cable company, may I watch the football?
Well, you don't have to get permission. You just use your credentials.
Yeah, but some cable companies, they don't. They don't let you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because there's too much fraud.
Because they just say, "Hey, you ought to watch it on TV like a normal person."
That's stupid.
Well, I found. Spanish?
Because
Univision is offering all the games for free, cable or not. It's called Univision Desport. It's a soccer ball.
No, I liked it. It just the
sound. You want to watch?
Well, see, this is the better way to watch football.
Well, you know
course,
why?
Because they're more excited.
Yeah,
this is every 4 years. This is like the rest of the world is having a meltdown right now.
And look at this nice interface. And when there's a goal, there is a little ad in the Univision, but it's in Spanish, so who cares?
Yeah, it's for a different kind of tablet.
Yeah. Nice. So and when there's a goal, the Spanish announcers go crazy. So I actually enjoy watching. One thing you can do is, I'm not sure I'd approve of this, but you can listen for free to ESPN Radio. So I use TuneIn Internet Radio, and you can listen to TuneIn Internet Radio. And I guess if you wanted to, you could pause the video until it syncs exactly with ESPN Radio, listen to the English language, and then watch the video. But this looks great on the iPad.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Spanish. It doesn't bother me.
Nope.
I think soccer should be in Spanish.
What do we got? Nigeria and Iran? I don't know who's favored. I would guess Nigeria.
Well, at this morning's game, Germany just
destroyed him.
Beat
like 4-0.
Up Portugal 4-0.
Yeah.
CBC also offers it for free. In fact, most other countries, you can watch it for free. I bet we better not put too much. I don't want to get in trouble with FIFA. Most other countries, you can watch it for free, but in the U.S., you have to have a cable subscription to watch ESPN.
That's correct. I actually have the Play ESPN app for testing purposes, but no, I do not actually pay for ESPN, so it's not something that I can actually do, but it has been a lifesaver, I know, for a lot of people who, they're working during the day.
I was at Knott's Berry Farm.
At least for people on the West Coast, not all the games are at primo, you know, right. prime time.
I wanted to listen to the Brazil game, Brazil-Croatia. It was a very, very exciting kickoff.
It was a fun game.
And I was at Knott's Berry Farm, and I was just listening with my headphones to my, it was my phone, not my iPad, listening to the, if you'd use TuneIn Internet Radio, which we've recommended before as a radio app, ESPN Radio is on that, and you can listen live. There's no charge. You don't
but
have
then
to
you don't get to see the handsome soccer players, which is obviously the point.
You know what's funny is soccer is actually an excellent radio sport. You wouldn't think so.
Just saying. Just missing out on literally the best part, but okay.
Well, that's your best part.
I don't think anybody would disagree with me that soccer players are very good looking.
Well, they're in fit. They're in shape.
Right.
They're fine physical specimens.
I just think we can all benefit from a little bit more soccer.
See, I didn't. For some reason, I didn't miss that part.
You see that Netherlands team? My goodness.
But, you know, the ESPN radio had the nice Irish guy doing the, and it was great.
Well, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
He clearly enjoyed football.
Yeah. Well, so, that's, I mean, what else are you going to do? You're in Ireland.
I personally love World Cup. I don't know why.
So
I know
fun.
Americans
so
take
fun.
Great pride in how boring, you know, saying how boring soccer is, but I enjoy it. But anyway, there's just a pro tip. If you're on an iPad and you want to watch it on your iPad, it looks great on Univision. DEPORTES. That's free, and you can watch for free. And I think they've done a nice job. And interestingly enough, while the play-by-play is not in Spanish, the interface can be set to English. So you can still read the interface.
Okay.
It's just the you just can't. The play-by-plays.
Well, maybe you, I don't know, learn a little Spanish.
You know what? It's a good way to learn Spanish. You learn one of the most important words.
Goal.
Goal!
And and people's names here and
Pelota.
There. So, okay, so I mentioned as the show was starting that messaging has gotten complicated. And I am a prolific messenger with friends. I like to use all the apps, not only because other people are using them, but, you know, I want to know how things are going so that we can tell you about it. But I think that messaging apps, it's like everybody's trying to one-up each other. And
I think it's a mess.
It's kind of becoming a mess. It's like we're getting all these tools that nobody asked for necessarily.
Everybody,
and then we're all supposed to figure out how Snapchat works now.
Do you think it's because WhatsApp sold for $16 billion? It's got to be some of the motive. Like, everybody says, wow, this must be a hot category.
But even then, it's
it was already
like
bad.
WhatsApp it has the numbers, but it's not, I don't think it's beloved because it has all these features.
No, it's beloved. I'll tell you why it's beloved.
It just does one thing.
It's beloved really. Internationally for two reasons. One, it uses the internet, not SMS text messaging, so people who use it on their phone don't have to pay their carrier.
Well, but a lot of apps do that.
That's one. And the other one, unlike a lot of apps, it handles international character sets, not just diacritical marks and accents, but even left-right languages beautifully. And so it's a it's become very popular internationally because it works very well internationally. And that's it. You're right. Every one of these apps does the same thing. You send text back and forth using not SMS but the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You send audio, video, emoticons. It's a rich media experience, but they don't. None of them does it particularly better than any other, do they?
Well, there's
just
Facebook
difference. Messenger.
Well, you know, in Facebook
that's what
Messenger,
you like.
Actually, yeah, Well, there's certain people that, for whatever reason, I don't really know why we just decided that that's the way that we talk to each other. Yeah. So if I was like,
send me a message.
I'm going to.
Now, if you don't have Facebook Messenger installed, and you notice this is an iPhone app, it will show up. You still get it in your Facebook app.
Now, here's what's interesting about the new Facebook. And I actually love Facebook Messenger. I always have. But now, not only can you send a photo inline, but you can hold to shoot videos.
That's nice.
Yeah. So hold send for video, tap for photo. So, Leo, my gosh. Woo-woo.
And now, I don't run Facebook Messenger on my iPad. I just run the Facebook app. But you could see I'm getting a little pop up here that says Sarah Lane sent you a video, and now we have this bubble chat. You know, I can drag. I actually enjoy that because I can play soccer with your head. So that's.
I think you're
nice.
The only person who even moves it ever. But yeah, so you got a little video from me. It's a
now
what,
notice
MP4?
It's not embedded in the app. I think it is embedded in the Messenger app, right?
Yes.
You see a little thumbnail.
Yes.
Button.
Yes.
Yeah. So on Facebook itself, you don't. But I still could click it and get the message, and I see the stickers.
You've been sending me a lot of cat stickers. Yeah.
And audio.
I don't know why you keep ignoring me.
Is this Facebook?
Okay,
Messenger?
I don't know what that is.
What
I have
that?
No idea who that is.
Was
and
that?
Why he has access to your to your Messenger.
I don't know.
But so that's the point is that one of the things that makes Facebook Messenger nice is if, you know, the problem with WhatsApp is you have to have WhatsApp on both ends.
Right.
Most people have either Facebook or Facebook Messenger or both, right?
Well, you know what's interesting about your Facebook Messenger is that it has not made you kick into the Messenger app yet, which
is... Because I don't have it.
No, but eventually it
Eventually it'll say, I can't, you don't...
It'll say,
it won't...
Download Messenger. Mm-hmm. That's like a rolling
thing. Has it done
thing.
That to you?
Well, I already had it, so it's not going to happen.
I'm avoiding Messenger as like.
And why is that? Because you just don't.
I don't want one more Facebook
app.
Yeah,
that's kind of one of those things. Hmm. So anyway, that is something that Facebook Messenger now offers. I do feel like, I mean, it's not as if having video capabilities makes it not understandable. But then you've got something like the Tinder app. Which,
well, now wait a minute.
Okay.
That's a dating app.
Well, now you would think.
Is it not?
It is.
Isn't that the app where it shows you pictures of young women that are near you and you say yes or no? And if you
necessarily have to be young.
Well,
but yeah.
As far as I could tell, it's only young. And then you say yes. And if they say yes, then you can have a hookup, as the kids call it. Isn't that what that's for?
It's a connection, and then you do what you want with it. I have met people on Tinder, and it's not just about hooking up. Sometimes it's about getting to know somebody. And then if you like them enough, maybe you'll go have coffee.
Then you'll hook
up. Here's what's... Well, I mean, it's kind of implied,
I don't know.
I guess.
Isn't that what it is?
You know, not all coffee dates
surprised
that way.
Because Apple mentioned Tinder
in
the keynote at WWDC.
Right.
I thought... Gee, I don't know. That's kind of like hot or not. Isn't it kind of like sleazy?
No, I don't.
It's not.
No, I think in this day and age, the dating rules are... Who knows what they are anymore?
However, I cannot keep... So Tinder is spelled T-I-N-D-E-R.
That's correct. Now, here's what's interesting about Tinder, though, is that, yes, it used to be sort of like a... Okay, this is a... It's a dating potential app, right?
You get hook
to know somebody...
App.
Well, it's not just a hookup app. You get to know somebody, and then you decide if you both like each other, which is all the first reaction is all physical.
Well, that's because you're looking at somebody's picture first.
Exactly. Yeah, you see some chatting. But here's what Tinder has done. Because the company is like...
That's kind of like saying Secret is a messaging app. I mean, it's kind of a off-label use.
Right. They both...
Isn't it? It's a dating app, really.
One of Tinder's focuses is the... sort of back-channel conversation that you might be having with somebody if you're they've piqued your interest and you've piqued theirs.
I sat on an airplane coming back from Vegas.
They've got a new moments thing, though. Then this is where it gets weird because it's like, okay, well, Tinder sort of wants to be a dating app, but it wants to be other stuff. You can share photos with people that you've matched with.
Yeah.
You can add text and filters and draw on your moments.
Well, that's
very Snapchat.
So at this point now it is...
See who likes your moments, start a conversation.
It now is a conversation piece, right?
Yeah, so if I...
Why would you put a picture like that?
Can we not show
like
this
that?
For a second? I just want to make sure that I don't show anybody something like really weird. Okay, yeah, so this is all fine. So so these are just people that I've matched with but I haven't talked to. So at this point, I'm in the conversation section. These are people that I now have access to, but I could send them a photo of myself rather than say, hey, what's up? Or whatever it would be that I would be saying to break the ice, which is now that's starting to get strange. Don't you think? Like, I'm confused as to what I'm even doing anymore on Tinder. I'm just sending people photos of myself.
Well, I just signed up for Tinder now. Of course, I'm probably not doing it right because the picture on Tinder is me and Lisa kissing each other. So you probably shouldn't do that, right? So, but then I'm seeing nearby, these are people who, what is their purpose? What is this woman's purpose for being here?
She's
looking to meet a guy.
Yeah.
And then if I like her, I do that. It's giving people, all people my age. I like them all, by the way. They're all great.
I would say no to her. If your first image isn't even of your face, I can't.
But she's got really nice.
They're strange. They look like little booties on her nails. Anyway.
So what do you tell me? Help me learn how to do this.
Okay, so
you swipe right.
If you swipe left, it means no.
Oh, I see. No.
Nope. If you swipe right, it means yes.
Dragging a picture left, in your case, you're not interested. Okay. Dragging it to the right means you like it.
Yeah.
Now, is there a chance in hell that anybody... Now, see, this person didn't even put a picture on it.
So I say, you're not trying hard enough. That's a swipe left.
Hi, Angelita.
Right.
Hey, Madison. So these are all people nearby.
Yeah. Some of them don't even seem like real people.
25 miles away.
Yeah. So, and you can decide.
Now,
you
if
can...
at some point... I don't know what I did. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
She won't know, though.
You have no matches. So that means none of the people... This is the thing that you should be prepared for.
So it's a little different.
Nobody, if nobody likes you,
then you don't talk to anybody.
All you're going to see is this all the time.
But the thing is that you've had the app for like 12 seconds, so nobody really had time to like you yet. So don't feel bad. I think you're very, you've got a lot of potential on Tinder. I don't really know.
Will that help if I use that picture?
Yes, very much so. It's descriptive. It's flattering. It's everything that anyone could want. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Now I can do those things you were talking about.
Right.
Okay.
So this now, you're...
So I could annotate it now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's nice. So the thing about this is, I don't know. I think Tinder gets a bad rap because, as you said, you're like, oh, it's a hookup app. And it's like...
That's what I thought.
I think you can use it however you want. I mean, that would be like saying anybody who goes to a bar is looking to hook up. I mean, maybe you're not.
See? No, nothing.
Right. Well,
I think Tinder is primarily to meet people, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it's... I think that that's exactly what the company would
be
prefer us to say.
A little messaging.
There is. I've definitely had conversations on Tinder before where it's
Snapchat's
like...
Snapchat's a messaging app, but you have to know the person, right?
Yes, and it has to be a two-way thing. Snapchat now is... I don't even... They're just like throwing features into Snapchat. And I'm, you know, I've always been a Snapchat fan. I feel like I'm not a complete moron. I get what they're doing.
Now, see,
now it's all over the place. Like, I'm lost half the time when I'm in Snapchat.
Because they added so many features.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, especially people in my generation, think Snapchat is just for sexting. But in fact, the young people who use Snapchat, I think, for the most part, are not sexting. They just don't want mess. The deal with Snapchat is you could send text, a picture. Most likely you're going to send a picture, maybe with a caption. And it's only available for 30 seconds. It could be more or less, but only available for a short period of time.
Right.
And then it self-destructs.
That's right.
And I think the young people, and I include my kids in this, who love Snapchat, use it because everything is less momentous. It's not as important if it's just, you know, it's a self-destruct. So, you know, when you do it on Instagram, it's going to last forever. You got to really think about it.
Yeah.
They know Snapchat, it doesn't matter. It's just for fun.
It doesn't all have to be so artsy.
It's not such a big deal.
And, yes.
And I think they like that.
Yeah, very much so. I've got my friends here on Snapchat. Now, if I wanted to take a photo,
that's good. You should put that on your Tinder.
Nobody's going to. I could send it to
They'll assume that you have some horrific disfigurement on the right half of your face.
Just a test.
I got a giant mole on her cheek.
And, you know, you can move stuff around. You can. Whatever. Then I say, you can see this for 3 seconds.
Oh, look at that.
Or 10 seconds.
Is that the longest? 10 is 10 seconds is the longest.
Yeah.
Time. So the idea on this is that it's ephemeral, but we have learned since that Snapchat actually does save these messages on their server and could conceivably make them available to law enforcement should they receive a government request. Just for your own.
Which is, yeah, that's a little disconcerting. And then, yeah, and then you've got these little... Anyway, Snapchat is weird. I just showed you how to send a photo to somebody, and then Prager can look at that for 5 seconds. But, okay, so,
oh, you
for
just
example,
got one from...
this is Cranky Hippo. That's Brian behind us.
Shouldn't he be busy working?
Well, this is his job. You know,
okay.
Job is so fun. You know, this is research.
I'll send
it. If I go ahead and say, all right, well, what did Cranky Hippo send me?
You have to press and hold.
I hold, and I can see, as it's counting down, that he gave me 7 seconds to view this. There's Brian. And now...
That's it.
That's it.
You're done.
Now, I can press and hold to replay.
Right.
But I only get to do that once.
Uh-huh.
I can't just do it over and over.
Okay.
So that was just a moment that I saw, and I went, oh, Brian. There's Brian. And then that's it. And there's no saving. It's not in my camera roll. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't become part of my whole thing. But they do have texting where you can send photos while you're texting somebody within that text that is different than...
It's too complicated.
Yeah. Amber and I were talking about this on the social hour the other day, and we were like, is this just what happens? Eventually, we stop grasping what the younger people want to do?
No, that's not what's happened.
Okay.
What's happened is that Snapchat, which had a perfectly functional, simple application that did one thing very well and was enormously popular because of it, decided, as always happens in software, we got to keep up with the Joneses, we got to add features, we got to keep people's interest. And partly that's because they don't want to lose business. They're afraid somebody will come along and do a better job. And I think partly it's just this notion that if you're not like a shark, if you're not always moving, you'll die. But in truth, I think what happens is you're adding features means inevitably you're adding complexity. It confuses people. And in fact, that's just as risky, maybe more so, than just not changing the application. I think they should just leave it. Maybe there's a natural life cycle. Maybe after a year or two, people stop using Snapchat and move on. Look at Path. We all used Path like crazy when it first started.
It's true.
And then we just moved on. And they didn't change substantially, but we just moved on.
You know that, speaking of Path, I didn't actually even have Path in the list, but Path has decided that it's going to do, Path messages will become ephemeral as well. So you don't get to go back and look through your Path messages because you only see it for a limited time. But I'm like, but that, again, nobody wanted that. Nobody thought to themselves, you know what would be make Path cooler if I could only read Leo's message for a shorter amount of time.
This is the same phenomenon. They said, well, Snapchat's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. You gotta copy what they're doing. They added stickers because WhatsApp had stickers. I mean, it's this herd mentality, and I think it's hurting software.
But they all end up adding the same features that were weird in the first place. Right. I don't know. I just don't know.
You know what you haven't mentioned, and I'm kind of surprised, is the big two messaging apps.
All right.
Which are for iPad users, Apple's own Messages.
Yes.
And which has a lot of nice, has all those features, and it will send text messages if you're on an iPhone or a, it'll even send text messages if you're not on an iPhone.
And they're adding more features to
iOS 8.
Adding
more features, and it's built in.
Yeah.
And Google Hangouts, which is the other big competitor, and it has similar capabilities and even allows you to do group calling and video calls and so forth.
I don't know what it is about Hangouts that
I'm with you. I know why you didn't mention it. There's something about it. It just doesn't grab you.
I don't know why, though. I don't have a good reason. Maybe it's because I don't have enough people saying, but no, Sarah, that's where I want to talk to you on Google Hangouts. If that happens, I'm down. Maybe just nobody is using it.
Both Hangouts and Messages work with the SMS system.
Correct.
So they will both work on a phone, and you can send messages to people who don't have those apps. That's the unique thing about both of those. Facebook, you have to have Facebook of some kind. WhatsApp, you have to have WhatsApp of some kind. Snapchat, Tinder, all the rest. You have to be using the same application on both ends. Hangouts and Messages, you do not.
I mean, besides every once in a while when maybe I am, I don't know, at a baseball game and data's weird but SMS is working, for the most part, SMS is not something that I need anymore.
See, that's all I ever use.
Is SMS-based messaging.
That's, hardware independent. It works on anything.
Well, but so does data, for the most part. I mean,
if you have the same app on both ends.
Yeah.
But I could text message you anywhere. And if you have messages, if you have an iPad and you put messages on there, actually it comes with it, and you've attached it to your phone number, it'll even come to your iPad.
Mm-hmm.
So I think SMS...
Yeah, if somebody texts me, I get it on everything.
It's universal.
Yeah.
Why do we not use it? Because it costs money, I guess, because the carriers charge you for it.
Yeah. Well, that's why when somebody messages me a lot from an Android phone, I say, stop talking to me so much, because I don't have unlimited.
The other problem with SMS is even though you can do audio, in most phones you can, and iPad, you can do audio and video, it doesn't work as well. They have to be short. They have to be highly compressed. SMS is, to me, it's kind of the lowest common denominator. It's text messages of 160 characters or less, and they work everywhere with everybody. But that's almost all I use. In fact, I use that more even than email or phone anymore. That's how I text.
Yeah,
I communicate. You too.
I don't.
So you're number one messenger.
I called my mom yesterday. It felt so weird. I was like, does this work?
Well, that's because you said Happy Father's Day, and that's confusing because she's a mother.
Right.
But
she hung up on me twice.
I called my son and said Happy Father's Day. That was really confusing. But I thought, he's not going to call me. I'm going to have to call him.
What if he was like, thanks? You're like, ooh.
He kind of did.
Oh.
I said, Happy Father's Day and Happy Sunday, because you're my son and I'm your father, remember? Yeah. Anyway, that's my sad family story.
Well, that's fine. I've got a sad family story, too. For the...
Who doesn't?
Right. I mean, look at us.
Come on.
For the links to some of the apps that we mentioned, I can throw in Google Hangouts into our show notes as well. You go to twit.tv/IPT. You already know that, but I'm going to tell you again anyway. That is where not only our show notes are for each episode, where our archives also live as well. Look at us. We're on episode 202. We're in the 200s, everybody. A lot of good shows lately. So, yeah, hang out with us there.
And good hats.
Good hats. Leo was very Rasta last week. And, I mean, if you didn't see the show, you don't even know what you're missing. It's beautiful stuff. And apparently I wore the exact same cardigan last week as well, because I don't deviate enough.
You know, on Tech TV, we used to have a person who would take a picture of you and write the show number on there and would
put
write
it in
down
a little binder with a Polaroid.
She wore and put it with the and she wore the white cardigan and the tie-dyed blue dress on June 17th. So don't wear that again for 6.8 months, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then they fired that person because they realized nothing matters, really.
Nobody cared.
Nobody cares.
We all looked the same afterwards. For the, maybe a little. I mean, I don't look as good as I would if somebody dressed me.
I'm curious.
But, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get.
Do you feel as a woman on camera that you need to have a broader, more varied wardrobe and pay attention to the rotation of that wardrobe?
I definitely pay attention to it, but I wouldn't say I pay attention any more than if I was just dressing myself
as
on the
a normal person.
I just don't want. Yeah, you don't want someone to be like, "Hey, Sarah always wears the same shirt. What's her problem?"
See, I have four different color shirts, and I just wear them.
Well, yeah. But that's almost a good thing, too, because nothing's ever standing out.
Like, I'm
like,
guy.
I don't know, when you wore that shirt, it just looks like you.
And you probably realize when you look at me that he must have more than one of these, so it's not like he's wearing the same shirt.
Right.
You know, you have a collection of blue shirts.
Yeah. No,
and khakis.
I feel like, I mean, dressing. Shopping.
I'm just curious.
Done.
I think that
done with all that stuff.
For women on camera, it's a much bigger challenge. You're kind of expected to wear. You wouldn't want to wear the
same
thing. Every
people comment on what you're wearing and if you look nice or if you don't, and they let you know that.
I've just let my parents go to hell,
which is always a great thing.
I don't care.
Well, me too, kind of. I'm like, how bad do I have to look for people to just be like, don't talk about her appearance? It'll only upset
her. Nobody's sending you emails saying, no, Sarah, you used to dress nicely. No, nobody's sending you that.
It's just I just never.
You look great. You've always looked great.
Thank you. So twitch.tv/IPT, that's where you can go to get our show notes. But you know what I would like?
What?
I would like a pot of gold.
You don't
just
get that.
Just a big old pot of gold at the end of a rainbow.
How about $35,000?
Well, that's a start.
It doesn't have to be gold, does it?
No.
Could it be greenbacks?
I prefer
could be a
it,
check
actually.
Deposited.
What am I going to do with gold?
Yeah, really? You just, don't really want gold.
You
want greenbacks.
Down? Yeah.
What if you could get $35,000 in the next 3 days? What would you do with it? Would you pay off those high-interest credit cards? Would you?
Yes.
Yes. Maybe a little home improvement. I think, I keep trying to get Sarah to do this, a cat condo for your kitties. Just, like, take over the apartment and really give them something to live for.
A $35,000 cat condo?
$5,000. $35,000. Just the ultimate.
I want that for them. They deserve it.
Well, go to Prosper.com.
Okay.
You now, my friends, can get... Here's the deal. This is Silicon Valley's answer to going in a bank. You can go ahead and go in the bank with your necktie on saying, I'd like to borrow $35,000 for a cat condo. They will not let you have that money.
Okay.
No. And it will be a hassle, and you'll be a lot of... Prosper makes it all easy, because what they are is a marketplace of people who have money to lend, not banks, but just people. It's made of people. People who have money to lend with people who want to borrow money, and they bring you together, and that's so awesome. As fast as 3 days, you can have as much as $35,000. And here's how you find out what your rate will be. Just go to prosper.com/twit. You'll fill out a very simple application. This is what they ask. They don't ask a whole lot. You create the account. Then they tell you your rate. And by the way, that will not affect your credit score. The rates are all fixed. They're not escalating. They don't rise over time. These are unsecured personal loans. You do not have to have collateral. And yes, they have multi-year terms as well. So there's some really wonderful things that you can do with this money, and it's easy to get. And that's kind of to testify to that. There are more than 2 million people now who use Prosper, both lenders and borrowers, and they have funded over $1 billion in loans. Go to prosper.com/twit. You see what your rate would be, and I think you'll be very happy. Prosper.com/twit. When you do get the loan, they're going to give you, as a Twit viewer, a $50 Amazon gift card, just a little tip of the hat. It's so that they know you saw it on Twit, but you get a little something-something, $50 Amazon gift card. Prosper.com is not affiliated with Amazon, but for gift card details, you should visit prosper.com/twit and do fill out the form. And you could get up to $35,000 in the next 3 days at prosper.com. I just love this. It's Silicon Valley's answer to the loan thing. Prosper.com/twit. We thank them for their support of this particular program.
The whole time you were talking about Prosper, I was trying to sneeze and get it out of the way, and it's just sitting there.
It's
wanting
the worst.
To. It is. It's practically painful. It's not, but it almost is.
And yet
worse.
A sneeze is so satisfying when it finally comes
but
out.
But not when it's just sitting there.
But you don't want to hold it back.
It's like sawing your arm off.
Hey, well, wait a minute.
Well,
that's a little
strong. Okay, great. That would actually be really much worse.
I think so.
Still. I don't know. My sneeze went away. It's not happening anymore.
It's more like frustrating.
It's frustrating.
Even if you feel all right now, it's like something didn't happen that should have happened.
It should have. I needed to expel something. Pollen.
Sneezes are fascinating.
They are. They're
so
weird.
There's a lot of folklore about sneezes. Like, does your heart really stop when you sneeze?
I've never heard that.
You know, people are very serious that you have to say God bless you or Gesundheit when you sneeze. And I think that superstition has to do with evil spirits or something entering your body.
I don't know. It's the sort of thing that I say to be polite, but it's not. I don't think sneezing is related to blessing, really.
I think it's just you have an obstruction in your nasal passages and you're expelling air at a rapid velocity to clear it.
I was holding a friend of mine's baby yesterday, and she had the hiccups. And I'm like, how do babies have hiccups? Like,
Well, that's just a spasm of the diaphragm.
But, like, why? Why does anyone ever have that?
It's a muscle.
How is that a thing, though?
You know what? I did this past weekend
babies
when we were
hiccups.
At Knott's Berry
Weird.
Farm in Buena Park there, because that's, like, a big tourist area. They have the body. Have you seen that exhibit?
No.
Where it's a Chinese thing where they took all these human cadavers.
Oh, yeah.
And
I've seen this. Like,
polymerized them.
I've seen photos.
And so you can see the vascular system, you can see the sinus cavities, all this stuff.
Is it cool or gross?
It's both.
Yeah, cool and gross.
It's a little I'm a little squeamish.
It's coarse.
Yeah. And yet, these are real bodies. I mean, you're looking at plastic now, not actual flesh, but it looks just like real flesh or real...
Blah!
But it's fascinating. Fascinating. Anyway, you can kind of see how a sneeze would happen when you see the nasal passages and the sinus. It's just...
Somebody told me a long time ago that you have to close your eyes when you sneeze or else your eyes would pop out of their sockets.
Another old wives' tale.
So I was like, because you do close your eyes when you sneeze.
Yeah, but try keeping
but
your eyes open.
You can, and your eyes don't come out.
No,
so if anyone was worried about that, I have done the research, so you don't have to. Just sneeze with your eyes open if you can.
Isn't it odd?
You won't die. You won't lose your eyes.
Isn't it odd that we have so many old wives' tales about sneezing?
Yes.
Not hiccups. Nobody says, have hiccups, you got to say Gesundheit.
No, but it's if you have the hiccups, you got to stand on your head.
To cure them.
And
to cure them, we have lots of stuff. Right.
And none of those work. Scaring somebody.
You know the one thing that actually works? This is such a digression.
It doesn't, though.
The one thing that I promise you.
Okay.
It works for a scientific reason. It's not just like crazy stuff.
Uh-huh.
A spoonful of sugar.
And the scientific reason is what?
The granules of the sugar... Soothe your diaphragm, because a hiccup is a spasming diaphragm.
Yeah.
It works every time.
Okay.
Just a spoonful of sugar, you swallow it dry, no
helps
more hiccups.
Helps the medicine go down. Okay. I'm going to do that next time, because sometimes I have the hiccups for like hours at a time.
Oh, this
really
will fix
sucks.
It. I swear to you.
I'm just going to bring sugar with me everywhere. So
you can do a packet of sugar.
Okay. The iPad split screen rumor mill. 9to5Mac has what they say is video of it sort of working. It looks really weird, though, Brian. I don't know if you've got that video that you can play.
Are they seeing this now in iOS 8? So we know that this is really going to happen.
This is something that is being tested on some level.
So now they have the Apple window and they're scooched it over the Apple website.
So this is, you're looking at presumably what would be an iPad
screen.
Where's
the other thing?
Well, it's over on the right side. So they're.
Well,
the idea is like, okay, so here's sort of like full screen, right?
That looks more like a bug than a feature.
That's what, I was like, that doesn't. It's a little bit hard because you don't see hands.
That's what those dots are. Those are fingers.
That's actually part of the reason that we have the shots that we do.
Hands.
Yeah, because it's better to show your hands. But you have to. It's a split screen. But I mean, look at that. Apple would not put out a feature that looked like that. That's just sort of this random not jagged. What's the word I'm looking for? Jarring.
It's terrible.
I guess it's like nobody would.
But you don't have to
look far
to see what it might look like, because Samsung does it with their Galaxy phones. Microsoft does it with their Surface tablets.
Right.
And the idea of snapping frames is nice, I guess. It's so funny because Microsoft, remember, made Windows 8 to be a hybrid of tablet and desktop operating systems.
Yes.
And I didn't like it because it was mushmashed. I like Windows to have Windows and desktop. I like iPad to be all full screen. They just those two things, that's the native language. And I don't like the idea of bringing Windows to the iPad any more than I like the idea of bringing full screen apps to a desktop.
I like having the choice to have some sort of a split screen.
Would you use it?
Yeah, in general, I feel like choice is not a bad thing, but I don't like the way that whatever we're looking at, I don't like what I'm seeing.
I would like to point out that one of the reasons you're confused on Snapchat is there's so many new choices.
That's true. That's true. But that's not like an operating system, you know what I mean? Being able to have two apps that I can see both at once on my iPad in some form, I'm sure there would be a lot of examples of that being a really good thing.
I can think of use cases. You have Twitter open.
Yeah.
And you're maybe doing a grocery list.
Right. Or whatever. Got a movie playing and you're...
Yeah, but wait, remember, when you do that, at least as in the way they showed it, the movie... And this, by the way, happens on Xbox, on the Microsoft Surface, and on Samsung. The movie now is smaller, right, because you've shifted it over. Mm-hmm. It's just this little, there's bars up and above and down, and this is a little box. It's not very satisfying. But that's the example that Samsung used. You're watching a YouTube movie or video, and you're taking notes in the right-hand column. Just do what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's my philosophy.
Just do what you're doing.
Do what you're doing.
I don't.
No, people don't really multitask.
This is not some sort of a feature that's like hidden in your iPad right now. If it is going to be a sure thing, Apple certainly isn't saying anything about it, not at this point.
But they put it in iOS 8 in some form.
There's some capability in there. So
unfinished, clearly.
Yes, but we're developer beta. That's what developer betas are all about. Here's something that is somewhat finished.
All right.
And that is the newest version of...
Besides my career?
No, you're just getting started.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just getting started.
Yeah, yeah.
You are about to...
Crest?
I was going to say crest the roller coaster, and then I'm like, but then it's like a fall.
Right after
grace.
That is yeah. a severe
it's
drop.
A severe drop. You're going to lose your lunch. It's not good. No, it's you know what it is?
What?
The top of the roller coaster hill is still so far away.
I'm on a plateau.
You're no. Have you plateaued?
Oh, long ago, dear.
Well, I think the best is yet to come. Starting with the OpenTable app, because this thing is better than ever. Now, OpenTable was bought last week by Priceline.
I was just about to say that, and I thought that's the end of the line for OpenTable.
Well, I'm sure that they were working on the new app before the Priceline deal.
Let's explain, though, the business model for OpenTable.
All right.
In order to be a restaurant listed in OpenTable, OpenTable is a place for you to find reservations at restaurants that are participating.
Yep.
You have to have OpenTable software running in your restaurant to take reservations. You pay them money. It's an interesting business model. I've talked to restaurateurs who like it, but I've talked to a great many who hate it. On the other hand, as more and more people use OpenTable, it's become almost, they're almost forced to subscribe to OpenTable. And a lot of them don't like that.
No, Yeah, there's something with the rates, or there's a specific thing that people who work in restaurants have a problem with OpenTable. But as a person who likes to eat at restaurants regularly, if you've not used OpenTable before, it has geolocated me to Petaluma because I told them it could use my location. And at this point, what you do is you save yourself a phone call to get a reservation. So if I say, well, I want to go to Kabuki Restaurant tonight, I love that place. Table for two tonight, 7 p.m., maybe I'm like, well, there's not two of us, there's six of us, actually.
I use this all the time, and I love it. And you can see what's available.
This place is wide open.
Apparently, you're not making a lot of reservations.
Yeah, it's 7:45. It already knows me, because I'm not going to make this reservation, because I'm not going there, actually. But I'm already logged in with my Facebook account. You don't have to use it through Facebook, but that's just what I do. And this is actually really nice. I mean, it tells you not only the times, but you've got a little bit more information on what kind of a restaurant it is. It's casual dress, no parking lot. There's street parking. It's Japanese cuisine, blah, blah, blah. But
I use this all the time. You know why?
Why?
I don't want to talk to a person.
I don't either. If I can just press a couple buttons and walk in when I'm ready, I've won.
Geeks love, because we're introverts. We want tools that mean we don't have to talk to anybody.
Yeah. Save me a conversation.
I don't want to talk to the, and it's...
I even say that to people that work with us. I'm like, don't come over to my desk. Right. Just message me somehow.
But it is a somewhat unsatisfactory experience to make a reservation on the phone. A lot of times they're not there.
Right.
A lot of times you get a message that says, hang on.
Yeah.
And then you get the very harried maitre d', and there's lots of noise in the background. They go, what do you want? I want a table for two. What's your name? Laporte. What time? 7 o'clock. I don't have anything. It's not always the best experience, is it?
An OpenTable is very calm.
You don't have the rejection. You just see what's available. If it's not available, you move on. Frankly, And I know restaurateurs don't want to hear this, but I often will not go to a restaurant if they don't have open table.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it just...
I just want
just
open,
like,
table.
Yep. Yeah. It won't keep me out of a restaurant, but yeah, I mean, that's just my first.
I
yesterday,
love
I was
open
with
table.
A bunch of friends up in Sonoma. We wanted to go to brunch, and we were like, what's on the square? And I said, well, let's just see what's on
table.
Open table.
Exactly. You see
and,
what I'm saying?
And you end up finding out about places that maybe weren't even on your short list because you're like, well, they can take us. We were sort of a big group. We ended up going to this Portuguese restaurant. It was great.
It was great, see?
It was delish. Well, something that's new with the Open Table app, even if you have used it before, this is new. So if I'm in the Kabuki restaurant, and it's not going to be this for every single restaurant, but in the menu section, they for whatever reason, they haven't supplied Open Table menus, but that's somewhat unique.
But they do have pictures.
But they have popular dishes.
See, this is good.
Like champagne. I guess
this
that's
is
what
smart.
You get at Kabuki. Yeah.
They're embracing this because nobody's going to this restaurant, so they're saying this is an opportunity for us.
Go ahead and pass on that side salad. Jeez, why would they say that's, that? Ugh, that looks horrible. ooh, that looks really good. Ooh, sushi sounds good for lunch. And, yeah, so you get more information before you even go in there.
Do you find that there are restaurants? I mean, you're a foodie. Do you find restaurants in San Francisco that don't support open table?
Yes.
Like the best ones don't?
More and...
Or not?
No, that's not true.
I've used it Fleur de Lis, which is arguably one of the best restaurants in San Francisco.
You know, it's shutting down.
Okay, we're going to have to stop the show for a moment while I just mourn.
Why you just mourn?
Why is it shutting down?
I think the guy who's run it is like, I did this for 35 years and I'm tired. I don't think it's not because they're not, like, getting business. I think you've got a little bit more time. Take Lisa before they shut down. I think it's like at the end of the summer or something.
It's a great French restaurant.
Yeah, I've never been. Yeah. It's weird.
I'll take you.
Thank you. All right. Woo!
It's very expensive.
Going in for seconds.
But it's nice.
Yeah, well, nice. That's, you know.
But they take it, and I find that really great. It's such a convenience to me.
Sometimes restaurants, for whatever reason, just, you know.
They don't want to do it.
Yeah, or they say just walk in and press
Well, I'm
luck.
Glad to see they have an iPad app, and it's beautiful,
it has
some nice features.
It's actually really, really nice. Of all the kind of restaurant-related apps, I mean, it sure beats the way that Yelp's iPad app looks. Even though I like Yelp. And I find it has a lot of good information.
You know,
don't think that the Yelp experience is fun to look at.
I'm unhappy that Priceline bought them. I wish Google had bought them, combined them with Zagat. Mm. Or even Yelp, because then there would be this kind of additional layer of utility in those apps, because I can make reservations directly. It feels like Google missed the boat on this one. They should have picked them up.
Well,
Priceline's business is selling hotel rooms blind.
Well, that's their old business, but they have picked up some...
What's their new business?
Well, their new business is basically it's picking up other companies.
That's the William Shatner ads, right?
Correct.
Where, you know, he's price
There's
fighter.
Still, there is still that part of Priceline. Yeah, the Priceline negotiator.
I never liked Priceline because, see, this is, to me, too much work, and I don't know where I'm going to stay. I want to know what hotel I'm going to stay at.
Yeah, I know.
And I feel like I'm not necessarily getting a great deal on this. There are other services that I think I get good deals with, and I know where I'm staying.
Right.
I just never was a Priceline fan.
Well, that was how Priceline kind of got on the map.
It feels down market, and I'm sorry that they bought Open Table, which to me is great.
Now, one theory that I read about why Priceline wanted Open Table so badly is because or Open Table would have wanted to be part of Priceline, is that Open Table is really predominantly just a U.S. thing, and Priceline makes most of its money in, deals and sales that are outside the U.S., so that Open Table really has a lot of potential to grow into other country markets. That makes sense. It would be nice to have Open Table just everywhere in the world where I'm going.
Right.
A great number of restaurants would have it because that's not the case now. But yeah, we'll have to see. I know what you mean about Priceline, though.
Feels it's definitely, down market.
Yeah, it's not. It's a budget situation,
yeah.
And that's sometimes people like budget situations.
I'm a big fan of Open Table, though, and I do
it's
encourage people to try it unless Priceline ruins it. That maybe this is just them saying, as you said, we need to broaden our horizons.
Devon has a question for you, Leo. He says, I just gave my mother an iPad 4 with 4G while I upgraded to the iPad Air. My mom lives in rural Alabama. She doesn't have Wi-Fi. She doesn't even have internet service. My question is involving accessories like printer usage. He says, I know iPad Today isn't a how-to show, but I'd like to be able to hook up an iPad to a printer without the use of a Wi-Fi connection.
Can't do it.
You can't. For a lot of older people, the iPad is the only source of connection to the internet. Older people are more comfortable with paper receipts. That's, not surprising. So, hey, any help would be great. Can't be done, though.
Got to tell the old people, don't print.
Yeah.
No more printing for you.
And even then, your printer options are limited, but you
AirPrint uses Wi-Fi. It's just the way it is.
That's the protocol.
I don't know of any way around that.
There's no... Yeah, you can't... It's not like you can hardwire your iPad to a printer.
Mm-mm.
No? I don't know, Devon. I think...
Can you use Google Print on an iPad? I don't think so. No. It's AirPrint.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. And that, again, that's only certain printers.
Let's ask Jeff Needles, because he's very smart. Jeff, is there any way to print from an iPad if you're not on a Wi-Fi network?
You can get a Bluetooth printer.
The Bluetooth printer. There you go. See, he's smart. Get her a Bluetooth printer. Right. Thank you, Mr. Needles. I don't know of any Bluetooth printers, but that sounds like something that would be common.
I'm wrinkly in my nose not actually having tried one. It sounds like
well, but
a
that's
lot of
the
Bluetooth
whole point. It gives you at least
a
wireless way to print. And I see Bluetooth printers for around $100. Samsung makes them. Walmart has them. I'm going to just check at Apple.com to see which Bluetooth printers. Apple does not supply Bluetooth printer drivers for the iPad. And, of course, as we know, iOS won't allow you to add print drivers. So the trick is... Trixie.
Yeah, I think your mom should embrace PDFs.
Yeah.
That's just
really
easier.
It's not a good answer, but the best answer is... Stop printing.
Yeah. Quit it.
I don't know if you... Because you don't have a driver for it.
HP AirPrint doesn't need a network? Well, yeah.
I think everything needs a network of some kind.
It doesn't just know.
It just doesn't happen. I know how you could do it.
Okay.
So you... HP will do this. You turn... Put the printer in ad hoc mode.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, in effect, a Wi-Fi access spot, which you can then connect to from the iPad. You don't have internet access. You only have access to that printer.
Okay.
So it is possible, and apparently HP will do this. HP printers, put them in ad hoc mode. That means I, myself, the printer, am a Wi-Fi access spot. But the only thing I can do is, of course, print. And then you can connect. You can connect to it via the iPad. You'll see, actually, it'll say HP printer in the Wi-Fi devices, and you just join that. The HP Envy, says Jack Red in our chat room. We'll do that.
Devon, I hope that was helpful. You got Bluetooth options and a couple others
I think
well.
The ad hoc is probably the best way to go.
Because then it's... that's you might even already have the... I don't know if you said she had a printer already... Or if you're thinking of getting her one.
That could be
so
true.
That would, it depends on what printer you have.
XPrint server maybe would be a solution. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Do let us know, though, what you end up going with, because we're curious. You know, what we're also curious about is Brian the Traveler, who has a video question for us. Brian, how can we help you?
Hi, Sarah and Leo. This is Brian coming to you from Mexico City, Mexico.
Me.
Travel a lot. And only carry my iPad. I wondered what your suggestion would be for the best external storage solution for an iPad that is synchronized with my files on my computer at home. Thanks. Love the show.
Well, nice to see you, Brian, in Mexico City.
I love
that.
It looks lovely there. I've heard nice things about that city, actually. I've not been only the airport. So external drive. That is definitely something that you can use.
He wants to carry it with him.
Yes. But he wants it to sync to his computer at home. And if you were to do that, why wouldn't you just go with a cloud-based solution?
I think you really should just use iCloud for this one.
Yeah.
You could hook up a drive. Can you hook up a drive? Yeah, you could buy the camera connection kit.
You can. Yeah, they sell a bunch of them
at the
Apple
Store. But can you back up to it?
Yes. You can.
But then how do you connect it to your computer at home? iCloud is exactly what this is designed to do. Right,
to not need this external thing.
It does it over the internet, so you would use your Wi-Fi connection or your 4G connection. I wouldn't use that in Mexico City, but as you travel around the U.S., use your 4G connection. He's obviously saying, I don't want a cloud solution, right? Because he must know about iCloud.
Right.
He wants a physical. See, I use something called the transporter, which I like, the file transporter, which is connected to my Wi-Fi network at here. Actually, you have to use an Ethernet port, but here and at home, they synchronize with each other, so they back each other up. And then all my computers synchronize with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Wi-Fi doesn't do it directly. The Wi-Fi can't because it needs some special software, and the Wi-Fi doesn't. Or does it, actually? You know what? I take it back. There's transporter software on the iPhone. This might be a good solution. I love the file transporter. It's a Drobo. Drobo kind of started it. They did a Kickstarter project, raised some money. When I first started using it, I was less fond of it. But the software has gotten better and better. They have transport. In fact, I've been using it. I didn't even know it. This is the transporter software on the iPad. You could save files to it. It would automatically synchronize with the transporter. The problem is going to be, of course, as you travel, you're going to have to share a network at some point.
Yeah.
Because it is network copying. I'm a big fan of the transporter. I think that's a good way to do it. And the chat room saying maybe there are wireless USB drives you could use. I don't know about that. The real issue is not so much the transporter would let you get on a network, see what's on the transporter, even if it's not with you, download files and re-upload them.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be all he needs. It's not like a full backup solution. It's just you could work on individual files and go back and forth with it. And the nice thing about that, of course, you could do that with Dropbox, OneDrive,
yeah, they're all
iCloud.
Same idea.
But the nice thing about that is the hardware, the storage is not off-site with somebody else. It's your personal cloud. Local. You know, on iFundat, we had a company called the Surely, S-H-E-R-L-Y. They're doing a Kickstarter project to make something very similar. We really liked it. That was this Saturday on iFundat. So I think there are solutions out there, but they all require you be on a network. So you bring a wireless router with you.
I guess you could do,
could do that.
Yep. That would work.
All right.
Yeah, iCloud.
I think iCloud's the best way. That's why people use iCloud. If you don't trust Apple, you're really out of luck. Why are you using an iPad?
Right. Trust Apple. They know what's best for you, even if you don't.
Yeah.
Hey, so when we're talking about iPads, hopefully a little bit later on this year, we're going to have new iPads.
I hope so.
iPad Pro, perhaps.
You really are set on that big 12-inch.
I've got to have it. Especially with multiple windows opening.
Yeah, that might make sense.
I think with a larger screen, it starts to make more sense.
That makes more sense.
We talked about this a little bit last week, too. It's like there are definitely situations, enterprise, that you say, well, you know, people want bigger things. That's fine. Yeah, maybe it's not going to be as mobile. But when that happens, you know, there's only so many iPads anyone needs. I'm just a single person. I don't really have somebody else in my home that's going to use my old iPad. So what happens? Do I just like collect them and make forts out of my old iPads? And you know, I mean,
very small fort.
What do you do with the four iPads you've just got laying around?
You might want to sell them.
Yeah.
Get cash for them.
Thought maybe you'd say that.
I wasn't paying attention. I was logging in on my transporter at gazelle.com. By the way, look at here's all my music, synced from the desktop, iTunes Media. This is all available to me. Well, that isn't apparently, but this is all available to me over the network. So there's Michael Jackson's Thriller. And I can use a transporter app to see it.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-
iPad, a new iPhone. Maybe you taking a look at the, maybe you have an iPhone 4S and you say, boy, it's time to get a 5. If you go to Gazelle, you can get a quote that's good for 30 days on your old iPhone, your old iPad, your iPod. They also accept tablets from Samsung and Google, even Microsoft. They'll buy them. Go on. Let's see what that iPad Air is worth. Just out of curiosity, 32-gig AT&T iPad Air. Gosh, I bought it. It's a year. It's been a year now, hasn't it? Yeah. $300. Whoa.
Wow.
So now here's the deal. That's good for 30 days. You got a quote now on that. Now, I can promise you that the iPad Air is not going up in value. In fact, in all likelihood, in 30 days, it'll be worth less. So lock that in now. The sooner you lock in the price, the better. But you don't have to decide now. You can decide anytime in the next 30 days. If you do decide to sell it, push the sell button. They'll send you a box prepaid, so you don't have to pay shipping. You actually, as long as you're doing this, you might as well get everything in that gadget drawer cleaned out, everything in your closets, look under your bed, find all your old gadgets, get prices from a Gazelle. They send you the box, you pile them in. If you forget to delete the data before you do, don't worry. Their experts will do that, and then they'll send you a check, a PayPal credit, or here's the pro tip. If you buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, get the Amazon gift card, because for reasons that are unknown, they add 5% to that. They give you 5%. I'm thinking maybe their affiliate fees or something they're giving back. An additional 5% when you use the Amazon gift card. So that's a good deal. Gazelle has paid out more than $100 million now to over 700,000 customers. The shipping is free, the processing is quick, and you will get cash. Greenbacks. Cash American dollar on the barrelhead. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, gazelle.com. Sell your gadgets the fast and simple way with Gazelle.
Don't just hoard them.
Don't
Stop
hold
being
on
a hoarder.
To them.
Get money.
Yeah.
Buy new stuff. Hey, so we got another email. This actually kind of plays into what we were already talking about a little bit on the show from Ron in Texas, who says, is it time to just pick a platform? Apple and Google and Microsoft all have their own complete platforms with phones and tablets, TV boxes, a computer. Amazon will have a phone, tablet, TV box. He says, I am assuming we'll have wearables in the future. Is it time to just choose a platform? What are the advantages or disadvantages of doing that? So that he mentioned Sarah basically is just in the Apple ecosystem, although she does have a Roku, which obviously Apple doesn't make, which is true. Thank you for paying attention, Ron. And Ron says, I wonder if the idea of buying apps and videos and songs and books once from one source that are compatible with all of your devices, would the convenience be worth it? So it sounds like, Ron, you are not sort of in one area.
I have two
of
words for you. Farhad Manjoo.
The guy who writes the New York Times?
Yeah.
Okay.
He actually, one of his very first articles when he came to the New York Times was how to best future-proof your stuff.
Yes.
And he said, yeah, absolutely buy Apple computers, Apple tablets, Apple phones. But don't buy your music from Apple. He suggested buying your music from Amazon. Because Amazon Music's all in MP3. That's a format that's going to live forever. It's unprotected. Amazon, even you know, if you get a different device, Amazon will work on everything. It doesn't require iTunes. iTunes, of course, is a little bit of a limiting factor. I think it's fine to buy Apple Music because AAC, the format Apple uses, is still pretty standard. It actually was the successor to MP3. It's somewhat better quality, some say. It also isn't copy protected, so it's not like you can't just take your songs as I do and put them on a Windows machine or put them on a Galaxy tablet. You can move around with your iTunes stuff. But, you know, and I know Farhad got a lot of heat for this article, but I thought it was a good article because he said, let's think about, you know, which technologies are going to last the longest. Don't buy CDs, for instance. Makes sense to buy digital copies. And he suggested Amazon. So I buy on both Amazon and Apple stores, and I'm very – and actually with Google too, and I'm very happy. It all seems to be kind of the same, so I don't know if it really matters.
I guess it – yeah, it's – I don't know what the answer is. There's not one answer for you, Ron. I mean, if I've got an iPad and obviously a Mac and iPhone, it makes sense for me to buy apps that I could have on a variety of devices from the app store.
Apps are a different issue, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I think he's sort of talking about, well, we've got apps, but then –
apps are very specific, so you'll never be able to use your... In fact, you still have to pay again if you buy Path or some... Well, that's free, but if you buy an app on the iPad and you decide to use a Samsung Galaxy Tab, you're going to not only have to get all new apps, you're going to have to buy them again, even if you've already bought them. So.
Yeah. The developer had to build a whole completely different app, which is why they don't always come out for Apple and Android or Windows Phone or whatever all at the same time. Yeah, I find that I'm not so worried that I'm missing out on anything. But I guess that would be the issue is that, yeah, maybe we'll say Apple just for the purposes because this is iPad today. You go with everything Apple. You know, are you missing out on...
I don't think you're missing out.
Yeah, and no. I think in general, you know, the music stores all have the same stuff.
But do understand that you're not going to be able to share apps. That is Apple specific.
Right.
There's certain advantages. I mean... for instance, Continuity, which is something Apple will debut in the next generation of its operating systems, the ability to work on a Mac and leave off on the Mac and pick up exactly where you left off on your iPad, that requires living in the Apple ecosystem. And I think there are certain advantages to using a unified ecosystem. The disadvantage is the same problem we're having with bananas.
What's that?
Well...
Oh.
Bananas.
It's all the same kind of like gross banana.
It's a monoculture.
Now.
In fact, there's only, you know, there were dozens of varieties of bananas.
Yeah.
But now there's only one because that one turns out to be the easiest to ship and so forth, put in the grocery stores.
So we're getting these subpar banana strains.
Well, no, the problem is disease. Because this one kind of banana is used everywhere, there's some concern that bananas will actually be go extinct because they're susceptible to this disease, and it's a monoculture. Would not be a problem if there were many different species.
The banana blood isn't strong enough.
That's exactly right. So it's like the Lannisters.
Ugh.
If you...
Yes.
If you
run, do not walk in the other direction.
Right. So I think there is something to be said for a mono system. There's some value to it, but there's also a risk because it's a monoculture, and it makes it more vulnerable. I'm trying to find Farhad's article. It was one of his earliest articles that he wrote for the New York Times, and I just wanted to find what he suggested as the way to go. But I can't find it. I'll see if I can. You can look it up. It's on the New York Times. MANJOO.
Yeah, he's great. I follow him on Twitter. I like.
He's very smart. We've had him on TNT. We've had him on Twitter. I mean, he's a very smart guy. But he did get a lot of heat for that from both sides.
Well, here's something, a theory that Rich sent in that could, I don't know, give him a lot of heat. He says, everybody's been speculating why Apple bought Beats. Leo, you're one of those people. I have an idea. From the original iPad to the iPad Air, all the changes have been iterative. Each model was a little thinner or lighter, better display, and so on. Obviously, this is because things like a better camera and Siri don't make much sense on a tablet, and most major changes just make more sense on a phone. I always thought the way to make an innovative change to a tablet would be to optimize it for books and movies and games. But I've owned 6 tablets from Windows, Android, and Apple, and they all have one thing in common: terrible speakers. Mm. I'd love to use my iPad for watching movies, but the sound is terrible. Do you think it's possible that Apple bought Beats to improve the speakers in the iPad?
You know, it's a funny thing because this has been done once before. You remember that HTC, the company that makes the phone I'm holding up, the HTC One, bought a fairly significant stake in Beats,
yes,
so that they could do the Beats speakers on the HTC phones.
Mm-hmm.
And they were branded Beats. In fact, you see they have left and right speakers on the front of the phone. This is a great design. Every phone should do this. It is easily the best sound from any smartphone.
But HTC sold their...
Well, that's the funny thing is HTC found it really didn't help sell anything.
Yeah.
So they sold their stake in Beats back. They're regretting it now. They would have made more money if they'd waited till Apple came along and bought it at a premium. And now on the second generation HTC One, they don't call this beat sound anymore. They call it boom sound. Sounds exactly the same, does the same thing. And what HTC found is it didn't sell phones, and it isn't a disadvantage to lose it. Didn't make a difference one way or the other.
I think the phone is specifically because there just aren't that many occasions when we're listening to music or audio,
but
not
think of the
using
iPad.
Headphones.
When the iPad first came out, it had dual speakers.
Right.
It's stereo speakers. And then Apple went down to one speaker. Now they're back with two. Are these stereo now? The left, right,
they
and the
are.
Air?
Yes.
They're not great speakers. They're on the side. They fire way.
Yeah.
That would be... But would do you see, it didn't help HTC. Do you think it would help Apple if this said Beats on it?
No. I think Apple's not. Even if they buy Beats, I don't think that they want Beats branding anywhere on it.
The Apple brand is superior to the Beats brand. What a lot of people say is, oh, but Leo, you're an old guy with the kids. Beats has a much better.
But you've got it. You have kids, and they don't tell
they
you.
They don't
that
use Beats.
Yeah, so it's.
Most of the kids I know are not fooled by the Beats marketing. It's all marketing, by the way.
Sure. Yeah.
And, of course, we've seen the report from analysts at Privco who said, you know, the real truth of it is Beats was profitable because they essentially were just a licensing deal with Monster.
Uh-huh.
They were branding Monster headphones. Monster made them at a high margin. All Beats was doing was putting the Beats name together with big names like not just Dr. Dre, but Will.i.am and others that really sold those headphones. So they made a lot of money. But as soon as Beats a couple of years ago started making the headphones in-house, the margins plummeted. It turns out to be a difficult thing to do and make money at. And in fact, they've had to go to the markets and borrow money several times now. Their most recent loan was for $500 million. And Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine each took more than $200 million out of that. They've been cashing in on the money. And Privco said that, in fact, Beats was in deep trouble, that Apple has bailed them out because they'd run through that money and that they weren't going to be able to get any more. People were starting to wise up to the problem. To me, it is still baffling. I don't understand why Apple did it. I guess someday we'll find out. Maybe Apple will brand something Beats and it'll sell like hotcakes. But until then, I'm still very skeptical, and I'm not alone on this.
We talked last week about the idea of plugging the headphones through the Lightning port, and we all sort of went like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But you know, maybe there is something to the idea of Rich. Maybe it's not so much about internal speakers being better, but being able to plug in a better speaker system through the Lightning port.
I think it's hysterical that we and everybody else is stretching so hard to understand why they made this deal.
Yeah, because it's just not obvious, is it?
It's just not obvious. Here's the Farhad Manjoo article. And by the way, thank you to the chat room. How to survive the next wave of technology extinction. He's talking about the fact that the Nook, for instance, is going away. And if you have a lot of Nook books, that's a problem. He says, buy Apple hardware. Apple phones, tablets, and PCs are the best designed, best made, easiest to learn, durable. They'll carry a far higher resale value. We know that from Gazelle. So buy the hardware, but use Google's services. By the way, Brian, our traveler, maybe Google Drive would be a good solution for him for working offline at home and at work.
That's true.
Use Google services, but buy media from Amazon. He says, this one's a no-brainer. Movies, TV shows, if you want something that will work on everything, get it from Amazon. So I think that was a very interesting article, somewhat controversial.
I can see why he got a hard time from people, because they don't want to hear, hey, just buy your hardware from Apple and your
everything should be from Apple.
Everything else from Amazon. The funny thing, though, is that, like, I don't know when it's going to happen, but, you know, these everything ebbs and flows, and eventually Apple won't be the place that you get your hardware from. I'm not talking about tomorrow or even 20 years. Just saying.
I am only buying
one day
hardware
it'll
from
all
Apple
be different.
For the rest of my life.
Well, me too. I'm in.
Fortunately, because I'm going down the hill on the roller coaster, that won't be
your
too
life
long.
Isn't going to be, there's not much left.
Right.
Yeah, so it's fine. You've actually worked this out really well.
Are a young maiden.
I might die
with
young,
many
though.
Years left.
Do you know that? I certainly don't.
I know it.
I might have a week. This might be it.
Well, we don't know, do we?
We don't.
We're all dying. It's just a question of when.
Sure. We're all dying very slowly. Some people just
some
more,
faster than others.
More, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is your deep thought of the week. Hey, we want to hear from all of you. Please do write us at iPadToday at twit.tv.
We kind of brought everybody down on that one,
didn't
we?
Yeah, I did. On that note, if you're feeling kind of down and lonely,
you should
email us. Yeah.
Some funny hats.
I think so, too. If you would like to send us a voicemail, 757-504-iPad is our voicemail box. Or you can be like, was it Mike? Is his name Mike? Who was in Mexico City?
Brian. Brian the Traveler.
Good memory. And, yeah, record a video of yourself somewhere and send it to us, and we'll try our best to help you have the best iPad experience ever. And on that note...
Oh, you look good.
I'm like a paper boy.
Yeah.
And you're like a Viking. Where'd you get that?
Abby brought it back from Mexico. These are real bullhorns.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is that heavy?
I think I look like the Tin Woodsman with a growth. Maybe Maleficent and the Tin Woodsman had a baby.
The Tin Man?
The Tin Woodsman from this Wizard of Oz.
They don't call him Tin Woodsman.
They don't?
They call it the Tin Man.
Oh. In my day, they called him the Tin Woodsman.
Tin Woodsman. You just added something to, like, one of the most popular characters.
The Tin Man meets Maleficent.
Uh-huh.
Hi-ho.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
No, that's a different movie.
Now he knows he has a heart because it's breaking.
Yes.
Oh. That was the Tin Man, right? Yeah. Hey, so this is the part of the show where Leo and I wear hats. Why do we wear hats? Because these are app caps. It's the part of the show where we each pick an app that we think is cool and you should know about it, and we wear hats while doing it. And in Leo's case, actual real bullhorns from Mexico.
This is the most uncomfortable hat.
It looks uncomfortable. It's ill-fitting. It's sort of like made of metal and sort of digging into your forehead a little bit.
It's very typical of the kind of tourist stuff you get in Mexico. It's somewhat dangerous. It probably is made of lead, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Thank you, Abby.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes.
She brought it back from Guanajuato.
Guanajuato. That's a neat word. Mm-hmm. Love those words. Okay, so I'll start with my iPad app of the week. And this is an app called Unread. And Unread is a RSS reader.
So, what? Yeah, RSS is dead.
Yeah, you would say that, but that's not true. In fact, as you can see, I've hooked it up to my Feedly account. And I've got some categories here, like, you know, I'm into the World Cup right now, so I've kind of got my FIFA area. I follow some film, independent film blogs, music, general news, that sort of thing. So I've put all of this together, again, using Feedly, because that's just the account that I have I've added. But if you want to add another account, you can do so. You've got Feed Wrangler, Feedbin, Feedly, Fever, and NewsBlur. They're all accounts that you can add. And really, for anybody who's like, what are all these things? It's really what's replaced Google Reader. It's the RSS catcher, basically, for people who read a lot of stuff and like it to be organized. What's nice about Unread, and that's the name of the app, is there's not really much to it besides you've got some themes you can change. You can go, you know, night mode. I'm in day mode because I just always like the lighter better, but that's actually not how it comes by default. But once you're ready to start reading your stuff, I'll just go ahead to all my Unread articles. It looks really nice. Here's something from Wired Magazine. If I click on it...
It actually does look pretty.
Yeah, it does.
Wired doesn't give you the full text, as a lot of people don't with RSS anymore. So you have to actually go to the full article to read it.
Oh, that's odd. Is that really the case, huh?
Yeah.
With Wired, anyway. But I'm, you know, I'm sort of flipping through my stuff. I've got, again, my... Ooh, I keep doing the wrong thing. I've got my sort of high level. Here's just a look at my Unread articles. I'm looking at everything that I haven't read yet. Now, this is a certain kind of a look. I can just choose to see it only as a list, which would obviously show you a lot more in one place, but I kind of like to have the little graphics and visuals as well to let me better understand if I actually want to read this. This is something about a artist called Jesse Ware. This is Pitchfork magazine, which I subscribe to because I really like their stuff. If I want to see a little bit more about what she's talking about, this is apparently her new video. And of course, that was just an inline YouTube link.
That's nice. So you could see the video? It plays in the... Oh, that's good.
Well,
Unread.
Because in the article, they
embedded it.
Yeah. So it's the same thing. I don't know who this is.
Unread or Unread, do you think?
Oh. I would say Unread because Unread isn't a word.
You can't like unread something.
Things that I haven't read yet.
Unread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is my independent filmmakers subscription.
Oh, you're back into Unread.
Well, how do I...
Back arrow? Right arrow?
I'm a little confused, actually. How did I... Oh, there we go. Yeah, I was just too far. So there is a little... Maybe there is a bit of a learning curve as far as what swiping will
get
you.
That's typical of iPad apps, though, because they don't want to put controls, so
right.
You have to figure out the swiping.
What's kind of fun is philosophy section. Mm. Wow. Now, this is, obviously, the developer puts
Unread
it together. Yeah. Well, they just sort of give you a little bit of a sense of, oh, this is why we designed things the way we did.
If
you
I actually like RSS. I'm glad it's still around.
Oh, yeah. You kidding? It's a great way to read stuff.
Yeah.
And like I said, you have a lot of options as for how you want things to look. Do you want to hide your red items? Do you, like, if you know you scroll back past something, do you want it to be marked as red immediately? I don't, because I didn't necessarily read it. But again, you have a lot of options as to what things look like. And you know, how big the font is and that kind of stuff. Also, if you're sharing accounts, for example, I've connected to Pocket and Readability, so that if you are sending something, if you see something here that you would like to share to Pocket, for example, I can choose to have that be one of the options to send it to. And that's nice. We talked about Pocket last week, so you can piggyback some of your stuff that you might not have time to get to. Of all of my Unread accounts, am I going to read all of them right now? No, probably not. So that gives me another option as well. I don't know. It's nice. Here's the thing.
Hey, what's the thing, Sarah?
The thing, Leo, is that it's $5.
Ah.
And that seems a little like, well, I hope you really like the design, because $5 is not insignificant. So, yeah, think about if this is the RSS reader that seems to be what you've always looked for, because it's not free. It's just the one-time purchase, though.
That's unread.
That's unread.
Sarah's
RSS reader. That's my app cap.
You know what
the
I'm
day.
Doing right now?
Well, you're holding your horns.
Taking the bull by the horns.
Ah!
You know what the Tin Woodman's real name is?
Tim Woodman?
Nick Chopper.
Chomper?
Chopper.
Chopper. Mm-hmm. Is he still alive?
He is in our hearts and minds.
Oh, right.
It just came out. Everybody's excited about it. I'm not so excited about it, but I thought I'd show it to you. It's, of course, the next chapter in the Angry Birds saga. It's called Angry Birds Epic. It's free.
Now,
you'll like it because it's the return of the characters, but it's a very different game indeed, and I'm not convinced it's a better game. The idea is it's kind of a battle game, okay? Now, because Rovio, the company that makes this, is in Finland, they decided to have no text at all in this.
Really?
So it's a little hard to figure out what's going on.
What is going on?
I don't know. I told you it's a little hard. But let's continue our battle, our saga. There's our hero, an angry bird.
He is cute.
We are going to go into a battle, South Beach number 4. The wheel of meat will... My horns fell
Your
off.
Your horns fell off. Those were ill-fitting horns.
Could I have my horns back, please? If it had only been this easy for Maleficent, it would have been a different story. Did you see that yet?
No.
It's good.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about
it. I think you'd enjoy it.
Well, all right. It's based on a book, right?
Sort of.
Okay.
Sort of. It's a little bit Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
But as you've never seen her before.
Okay.
Like and Angelina Jolie, her cheeks, they did something to her cheeks so they're
sharp. I think it's prosthetic.
Like a blade. Anyway, so here we are in South Beach. This, I don't understand this wheel thing.
See, this is not the kind of South Beach that I'm into.
No, I know. And then the battle is kind of in the middle. Anyway, we'll go to the battle and we'll see. So sign in with your Rovio account. I haven't done that. Okay. So there's pigs, there's birds. Okay. That's the most way it's like the Angry Birds saga.
Yeah,
the way now, if I press and hold my bird, I'll see its capabilities. This is a Knight, or a Knigget, as some say. He can attack 26 damage, forces targets to attack red for 3 turns. Protect, target receives 55% less damage, lasts 2 turns. And then the heroic strike, that's my little chili pepper down here. So I am going to make a strategic decision and attack the small pig first. Because I think, oh, there he goes. Bye-bye, small pig. Now, the big pig gets to attack me. But he decides to, I don't know what, run a protection spell, which I've just done. See, he can't hit me now. So I'm going to hit him. Bam, boom, ziggy. Oh, but see, you can see our health here. Ow, that hurt. Okay. Well, just for that, I'm going to hit you even harder. And we're going to have a little battle back and forth, a tussle. It's a tussle on the muscle. Let's protect myself again. Tap. Ah. And you can see this is gripping action. Perhaps action unlike you've never seen before. Oh, man. I think an 8-year-old would probably enjoy this. Now, one thing people say about this game is it is free, but you quickly get to a point where you just can't play this game without... I should have done the... Okay, I'll do the critical attack. You ready? Oh, ow. Just for that, I'm going to hit you with a hot pepper. Watch this. I get angry, and I smite the old pig. Something comes out of him. I appear to be collecting that. I have won 3 stars in this battle. That's nice. And now I get to spin the wheel of loot. I spin the wheel of loot. Something happens. I get something. Don't know what. And then I go on.
So
I wish there were a little more explanation of what I'm doing.
Yeah. It's not like the old game at all, except the fact that the characters are a little bit familiar. Right?
I wanted to show you folks. Like, I mean, it is free, so there's no reason you can't just try it for yourself. But
yeah.
There it is.
It's like if you're looking for the old slingshot game, it's just not this.
It's not that game.
No.
It's a strange... Now I'm in a cave. I got a guy. I don't know. Oh, okay. You see, this is going to be... There's going to be more... I got to go do more. So let's... Yeah, that's what I can do. All right, let's just hit him. Smite him once. Ah, you! I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. Die, little piggy. But now I'm going to go on because this is,
Yeah, this
He's got a feather. He's going to tickle me. Let me do the protection spell. Ooh, three. That hurts. Let's get you.
This is not my game.
I don't think it's anybody's game.
Well,
and I
I'm
feel
sure
like they have perhaps pushed the Angry Birds franchise a little too far here. Oh, now he wants me to do that. This is the tutorial.
Angry Birds was a phenomenon, yeah, though, so I can understand why they would want to get more app downloads.
I'm going to get a friend here. Now watch here. They're going to, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. You just do that, because watch. Now I have a friend. And boom. He's going to get out of his cage. And he's going to help me. And he killed them all with a
somehow
spell we don't... He's a wizard, so he's got some good stuff.
Good work. I don't know what you did.
I don't know what
you
I
just,
did.
Yeah, I feel like you just tapped some things.
Spin the wheel of meat. Tap okay. some things. Got play some, the next
all
level.
All right.
It's excitement.
So it's free,
woo-hoo.
Though. It's free.
Yeah. And it's worth every penny. For some reason, there's a pig up here. I don't know what he's upset about. Oh, I got Chuck. He's a powerful wizard.
There
Thank you.
Go.
You.
Good.
Yeah. I can't stop playing it, though. That's the weird thing.
Well, that's kind of what's... I think that's how Angry Birds has...
It's just addictive.
It just doesn't quit.
Yeah.
Angry Birds.
Oh, this is another bad thing. Lots of these intercut ads.
Well, yeah, because that's why it's free.
Yeah, they're really... So, they're
and it confuses kids, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Kids end up downloading a bunch of stuff that they...
I'm still in the early stages, so it's got a lot of tutorial. Now, he is going to do that to him. Ow.
Well, Leo, this is fascinating stuff. Very good.
If they only had a helmet with bullhorns on it,
sure,
I think they'd have a better shot.
Then nobody
game.
Would even dare mess with you. But unfortunately, we can't all have an authentic bullhorn tin man.
I'm going to have a red
from
mark
Mexico.
When I take this off.
I think you might be bleeding under there. I can't. I don't know for sure. The whole thing is, I mean, I'm afraid your head isn't breathing well enough.
It's
a head needs to breathe.
It's a finely crafted Mexican hat.
It's beautiful, actually. It's lovely.
I feel like
I don't know
it
how
might
Abby
be
it back.
Might be made out of leftover.
I feel like
Coke
it's technically
cans.
A weapon that she had to then
How'd
bring
she get
back
that on the plane. That's
I don't
a good
know,
question.
You know, it's like that doesn't. It seems like it could be a goblet and also a weapon.
Here, let's fill this loving cup to the brim with good cheer, and thank you for joining us today.
This was a wonderful show, as always. For those of you who are watching live, Leo and I are actually pre-shooting another episode today at around 4:30 p.m. Pacific time.
So, right after Tech News Tonight.
Yeah, so join us if you can for that. We'll probably be pretty punchy by then. Otherwise... thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be back next week on Monday. We shoot this show live around noon, Monday, Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1900 UTC.
Prost!
Prost!
It's the Mexican flag.
I am very good.